if you have a blog article on your own website, rather than link to it, my advice would be to share what you can in the text part, maybe add a graphic if you wanted to, and try and keep the conversation on LinkedIn. What I do if the article's, say, too long to fit in the text part, I'll just say, leave a comment down below and I'll email you the full PDF of the article, or I'll email you a link to the blog. That way people are commenting. That way you're keeping the attention on LinkedIn, which is what LinkedIn wants. And then later by private message, you can then direct people to your own blog, or you can just send that document straight to them.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement Elevate Your Business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent, and I'm joined once again today by Mark Edwards.
Hey, Samantha McLean, how's things going?
Super, because I have a super guest again.
I'm really excited about this one because I'm a big fan of LinkedIn.
You are a bit of a LinkedIn man, aren't you?
I am.
Like Matty LaHood. Matty LaHood is a LinkedIn man as well.
Absolutely crazy for the platform.
Do you know, every new person that joins the agency, he does a launch of...
Regardless of who they are. I think it's a really top strategy because A, keeps you active, but B, it also celebrates everyone, which is a great concept.
Yeah, I have to develop a new habit of being on LinkedIn a bit more.
So everybody talks about Facebook, as in social media platforms. Everyone's talking about Facebook. Everyone's talking about Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok.
God help us. Yep.
But LinkedIn has been one of those platforms that's just been silent. I'm just tracking along. And when you get to use the platform well, it can be incredibly engaging.
Well, what do you like about LinkedIn?
You know what's really good for LinkedIn is that gone are the days of the CV. Because you can put anything you really want onto your resume, but LinkedIn is almost like a living transcript of your working career. It also gives you a great insight into who the person is, where they work, where they've worked before, how you can actually sort of find ways to connect with somebody, which is really difficult to do on your other social platforms.
With LinkedIn, you can actually search by suburb and...
Exactly, or job title or company or what have you. I find that LinkedIn is one of the most useful tools from a B2B perspective, but the search capabilities within LinkedIn is second to none when it comes to being able to build your area of influence.
Absolutely. Although LinkedIn scares me a little bit because I don't know whether it's different job titles or something like that, but they call it leg humping, you know. Like someone connects with me on LinkedIn and then automatically wants to be on the front cover of the magazine or automatically, you know, reaches out to me with a business opportunity that's completely irrelevant. Mm. And I'm like, are we really doing this? Like still? Mm. Look, between you and Adam Franklin, so a lot of people in the industry know Adam Franklin. He's an author of a book, Web Marketing That Works, which has been a number one Amazon bestseller. Mm-hmm. He's also a speaker. He's been on the speaking circuit, and he's the CEO of Blue Wire Media, which he founded in 2005. And he's been featured all over the world in some of the big publications like Forbes and Huffington Post and The Australian and things like that. And he actually consults on how you can use LinkedIn better to A, not annoy people, and B, generate good leads.
Having had the opportunity to be able to listen to this podcast, there are a heap of great strategies that Adam sort of discusses with you.
So what we talk about is how to optimize your profile if you're in real estate, how to reach hard-to-reach people, how to build your network on LinkedIn and how to do it without annoying people, and also how to, you know, remain top of mind and build trust once you've connected with these people. So there's a lot of good stuff in here. And as I said, between you and Adam, you've convinced me that I could be on LinkedIn more this year.
Excellent, excellent. So while the podcast was going on, I saw you madly scribbling down notes as you were having a chat with Adam.
Yep, we've got some good links in this one with some good actionable tips. So if you'd like to download the action guide, it is eliteagentelevate.com.
And if you'd like to get all of those, come speeding to you at the end of the month.
Sign up to Extra.
eliteagent.com/ /extra, and they'll be coming to you once a month, all of the podcasts for the month, and possibly a couple of extras.
Yeah, well, we like to give extra.
In extra.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Look, I think this is going to be a great one. Sit back, relax, get your thinking cap on, because there's going to be a lot to implement in this chat with Adam Franklin.
And look out for me on LinkedIn. Welcome to the podcast, Adam Franklin.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
It's a real pleasure to have you. I've heard lots about you from the speaking circuit, and I know that you do a lot of conferences and workshops and things like that in your area of specialty, which I know is LinkedIn, and all sorts of other types of brand building on social media. For people that probably haven't heard from you, because there might be some people that have been under a rock for the last 12 months, we don't know. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown on who is Adam Franklin?
Absolutely, Sam. I've been in this digital marketing game for 15 years now. So obviously a lot's changed in that time. What started as, you know, pretty much email marketing and websites has, you know, blossomed into social media, particularly LinkedIn. Videos become huge lately. So I've been able to implement and test stuff out as these technologies and these platforms have emerged and evolved. And I've been able to then distill that down into actionable things that my clients and students can learn. So after 15 years, I call myself a digital marketing coach and consultant, and many listeners will have seen me at various real estate conferences and workshops over the years, and it's lovely to be back.
And you've got a couple of books as well, don't you?
I do. We've got Web Marketing That Works, which was an Amazon number one bestseller. Even though technology's changed, the lion's share of that book is the fundamentals are still the same. So being generous, building relationships, all the stuff we're going to talk about today is what I've talked about in the book.
Is there a particular area that you've grown fond of over the last 15 years?
Look, without doubt, in the last 2 to 3 years, LinkedIn has been the platform that's really stood out for me in terms of engagement, in terms of results, in terms of the ability to reach the types of people you want to be having conversations with. And so that's where I really focus my energy. But I've always been a fan of email marketing as well.
Yeah, me too, actually. I mean, we have an email list, and I think that's almost number one. If you can get some real estate, pardon the pun, in someone's inbox, then, you know, if people want you in their inbox, then it's a really good thing. But I guess LinkedIn is a really good place to be able to find people in the first place.
Absolutely. I explain to clients that if people are seeing you on LinkedIn and they're seeing you in their inbox, well, then you've really got that top of mind part taken care of. You're going to be getting more referrals and more word of mouth because you're showing up where people's attention is.
So I know agents have been a little bit hesitant about LinkedIn because Facebook and Instagram have always been the social media platforms that everybody loves. So Facebook, because everyone feels like everyone's on Facebook, particularly it seems to me to be, correct me if I'm wrong, an older demographic too on Facebook these days because, you know, like people like me like to see what their kids are up to. So, and also, you know, like I suppose that sort of boomer, Gen X type homeowner generation people that real estate agents want to appeal to, they seem to be on Facebook a lot. And Instagram is also very popular among agents because it's very visual and people love to be able to display their homes. And then LinkedIn's always been, I know it's gaining popularity now because I'm hearing more and more agents getting on the platform. But why do you think people hesitate with LinkedIn?
LinkedIn seems a bit stuffy and boring and professional compared to the beautiful pictures of Instagram and the social nature of Facebook. Instagram and Facebook are certainly very popular with agents, and I understand why. However, that also means that LinkedIn is a huge opportunity because not as many people are making the most of it. People are actually very approachable on LinkedIn. You can find people in your area. You can contact them for free. And in actual fact, the reach that we're seeing on LinkedIn at the moment is significantly higher than that exact same piece of content published on Instagram or Facebook. And so that's why I believe that LinkedIn is a huge opportunity for 2020.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because like I've noticed myself with our Facebook promotions and things like that, that the reach has been getting less and less and less over the last couple of years. So let's talk about how agents might want to use LinkedIn or how. Well, first of all, there's one thing I have noticed about LinkedIn, and that is whenever you Google someone, generally two things will come up if they're in the real estate industry. It'll be their realestate.com.au profile and then usually their LinkedIn profile. Can we talk about a few tips maybe to make sure that that first look at an agent is a good one? Like, what would you recommend on a profile?
That's a great point you make, that when people do a Google search of your name, it's very often LinkedIn number one or number two. Typically way further ahead than the company website or the agent's personal website. And so that's typically what people are going to click on. And so with that in mind, what we need to firstly remember is to have a profile, to have it up to date, and I'll talk in some more detail about that. But the first thing I guess to keep in mind is the headline, so what you call yourself. So a common mistake I guess I see some agents make is they might be the principal or the director of the company, and the company may not necessarily have the word real estate or property agent or what have you in it. So we always need to be thinking of what our potential vendors, the language that our potential buyers are using. So it's really handy to think of the suburbs that you serve and using the words real estate agent and then some suburbs, or real estate agent and the city, or property agent. Those types of keywords that your vendors use is the first thing to consider when populating your headline. Second thing I would say is have an up-to-date headshot. And it seems so silly.
There is still some people that don't.
There's lots.
You know, like, yeah, I can't, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
There's lots and lots and lots. And especially in real estate, where you're actually meeting people face to face at open homes and going to their houses, you need to look like you do today. And sometimes that's not as flattering as we would like, but I think it's more important for building trust, for being recognizable, so that when you show up or when your vendors or prospects show up, they know who they're talking to and they can recognize you. So that's a simple one, but as you say, not everybody has done it, but very easily fixed.
So what we're saying is, if you're listening to this and you have a company logo in your profile pic, it's not acceptable, right?
Absolutely. People do business with people, particularly in real estate, and people need to see your face.
If you've taken a photo of yourself, a selfie down on the beach or something like that, that's probably not the right photo to use on LinkedIn either.
Probably not. However, the only thing I'd like to add there, Sam, is that there's a really good tool called remove.vg that crops around your head, and therefore you can have a clear background. Even if you've got a photo that you're happy with your face, but the background's a bit much or a bit, you're not happy with it, use remove.bg, crop around your head, and you'll have a nice clear headshot for everyone to recognise you by.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I discovered some photographers actually online. They're called snapper.co, I think, and it's like the Uber of photography. So if you don't have a decent headshot, find an Uber photographer and get them to come to you.
100%.
I think, a good headshot. So let's get back to the headline and the profile optimization. So the headline is the most important. It's got to have real estate in the title. What about some other must-dos on your profile? Like, what about the description? Because often I find, and we sort of did a little test a couple of years ago when we did a program called Transform, that a lot of agents just said the same things in their opening paragraph, to the point where if I saw the word passion one more time, I was, going to feel like I was, in an episode of The Bachelor. So what's the sort of thing should you be putting in that opening paragraph to really attract people to you?
Okay, so the first thing to note is that LinkedIn now allows us to have 2,000 characters in what's now called the About section, so the description. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, so if you haven't revisited your LinkedIn profile in a while, a few years back you only could have a paragraph, but now we've got 2,000 characters, which is quite a bit more real estate, again, pardon the pun, to work with. And so there's a few things that I encourage agents to do. The first is I like to break up a page with different subheaders so that people can scan down the page and get the general idea of what you're about. And then if they want to, they can read more. So I would start with something like real estate agent and then listing out some of the suburbs that you serve. And then talk about, a little bit about yourself, a little bit about the types of results you've achieved for people. I think that's super, super powerful. Like, everyone can talk about how wonderful they are, but if there's actual sales and there's actual results of homes that you have listed and sold, then that's going to be very, very compelling for people researching you as they're making that decision as to which agent do I call about my property. There's definitely also room for some personality as well. Just because LinkedIn is like the professional platform, it doesn't mean you can't have a personality or have some fun or talk about stuff outside of real estate. Now, I think as an agent, I think it's really valuable to be a champion for your suburb or your patch of turf. So you could even just talk about, you know, I look after whichever suburb it is. Here's what I love about it. Here's what I love about the people, the homes, the weather, the sporting teams, the restaurants, and really demonstrate the passion rather than say you're passionate.
Yeah, that's really cool. And what about, because LinkedIn now has a really big cover photo area now as well. Any tip for what you would put up there?
Absolutely. So people are very visual. That's why obviously a lot of agents like to use Instagram. But that cover photo that you're talking about gives us the option to actually use that space wisely. So a few things that you could do. What I really like to do and encourage my clients to do is to actually put some text on that image as well. So the image could be something iconic in your local area so that people sort of identify you as being associated with that suburb. But then you might also use a simple tool like Canva and put the words like real estate agent servicing this area over the top because we're visual, that's what we're going to form an emotional response to much more quickly than we are the copy that comes down further in the about section.
Yeah, and I suppose if I'm a consumer on LinkedIn looking for a real estate agent, you don't want to make it an Easter egg hunt for me. You actually want me to find and know that you're a real estate agent straight away.
Yes, so make the contact details really obvious. I think it's totally cool to have your mobile number in the headline if you wanted to. Certainly make your phone number and email very accessible in the about section. Also check your contact details when they click contact info. That pops up and it's actually your work email address and your current mobile phone number because you want to be accessible and reduce the friction to making contact.
It's hard to keep up with a whole bunch of social media profiles given that we're on Instagram and we're on Facebook and LinkedIn as well, and there's probably a few other ones there that are kind of up and coming. But do you amend your profile every couple of months? Like how often do you go in and make sure that your own profile's up to date?
Yes, it's worth reviewing every 3 to 6 months just to be sure. But really, once you've got your profile good or good enough, then it's time to move on to the next stuff, which is publishing content, building relationships. And you still review the profile every so often, but it's much more important to have your daily activity focused on proactively engaging with people and posting content and reaching out to people.
Cool. So let's talk about engaging with people. So I've got to tell you, I'm a bit frightened of LinkedIn myself because every time someone connects with me, or not every time, there are some exceptions, but I'll get on LinkedIn and get a list of people wanting to connect to me. And then I'll say yes to some of them thinking that they're kind of close to the industry. And then almost like as soon as I've hit that accept connection button, they want to sell me something. And it's the biggest put off in the world. I feel like saying, look, get to know me before you try and sell me something. So now that I'm a real estate agent and I've got my profile all set up, what is the first thing to do to get a feel for how you should behave on LinkedIn? What's the social etiquette of LinkedIn?
Well, it's exactly the same as if you're at a business function or an open home. You would be having conversations with people. You'd be introducing yourself to people and you would try to be in the initial stages, say you were reaching out to new people. Like if you know them in real life, just hit connect and away you go. But if they're a stranger or someone who you don't know yet, and you can very easily do a search, you could type in your suburb or suburbs, and you can see all the different business owners, professionals that have that suburb listed on their headline or in their profile somewhere. So that would be a logical place for agents to start. And reach out to them and simply treat it like you are at a business function. You might say something like, hi, Sam, congrats on what you're doing with Elite Agent. I'd love to add you to my North Sydney real estate network. Cheers, Adam. And what that does is, it shows that I've looked you up and I know what you're doing. Secondly, it's a very clear purpose to connecting. I know you're in real estate. I'm forming a real estate network and that's how you might go about it. Or I'd love to add you to my North Sydney business network. Or my North Sydney network. And then that way there's kind of got that purpose to it, which people go, okay, that's a fair reason, I'll accept. And that's a very simple script to follow that will typically get a much higher acceptance rate of your connection requests.
So obviously on LinkedIn we're going to connect to people that we know, but obviously I guess the reason for a real estate agent to be on LinkedIn is for prospecting. Is that the way you'd think about it? Would you think about perhaps you've mentioned C-level job titles a couple of times then, like CEO and CFO, I think. Is that the sort of thing that you'd be looking for? Would you be looking for job titles to connect with in a particular suburb, or how would you approach the people that you want to get to know from a business angle?
Yes, you can type in the roles. So you could type in CEO or director or founder or accountant or whatever. And then also if you wanted to add the suburb as well, and that should give you a really good starting point of a very precise number of people that have those words in their profiles, and you can start there. And you're not wanting to sell to them straight away, of course, because we've all had that off-putting experience. I think my biggest stalker or seller has contacted me 32 times in the last 18 months.
Oh my God. Pretty much
the same message, and I've never been interested in what he's had for sale. So you don't want to be pushy and annoying. You want to treat it like a business relationship. But at the same time, if people are looking to list their homes, you don't always need to dilly-daddle around and never ask the question. You could quite simply say, is listing your property in 2020 on the horizon? Is it something you're looking to do? Are you looking to invest in property? And then have human conversations. But often when we receive those spammy kind of salesy messages, oftentimes it's just this massive long copy-paste message, right? And they're trying to give a whole list of stuff that they do. But in reality, we want to mimic real life. So we're having conversations now. Agents have conversations with vendors all the time. We ask questions. We take turns at talking. And that's what we need to do on LinkedIn. I have an acronym, I guess it is, called a SPEAR. And you want your messages to follow this SPEAR format, which is short, personal, expecting a response. And if you treat your messages like that, it's just like a human conversation. And that's the way to nurture these relationships and build trust with the people in your network.
The other thing that I had a good laugh at the other day on LinkedIn, which is probably something to be avoided at all costs, but LinkedIn now has those autoresponder messages when you message someone on LinkedIn, and I think it will throw up three alternatives. And I deliberately exhausted it, my alternatives on my husband, because every time you hit a button saying, yes, I'm interested, thank you, it'll come up with another three alternatives. I don't know about you, but it sort of seems like some of the canned responses, it feels that way. So when you're coaching agents, what do you say about those messages? Is it ever okay for a quick one of those, or should you personalize everything?
Look, what I've found is that the AI or the artificial intelligence is pretty good at working out what you may say. So it gives you those three options. So if that is what you're thinking of saying, by all means, say it. But we've tested this out a little bit. And if every single message is like me saying, hi, Sam, would you like to talk about XYZ from Adam? Versus just, hey, would you like to have a chat about XYZ? The non-personalized one actually performs better in terms of getting a response. And the reason I think that's the case is because it feels much more like just a text message conversation that you're having with a friend rather than a more formal back and forth. Don't be afraid of not signing off your name or not addressing the other person by their name, especially once that conversation has begun, because it is likely to get a better response and feel more personal.
You said a little while ago that someone's contacted you 32 times with the same message. And it hasn't worked. I'm interested to know a bit more about that because, you know, often you learn good lessons from things that don't work. So what is it about this 32 timer that's landed in your inbox that has not worked for you?
One, I'm not interested in what he's selling. Two, he's too pushy. But the reason I landed myself in trouble is because he wished me happy birthday last year or maybe the year before, and I made the mistake of hitting like the thank you button to respond to him. And so then because I've responded, he thinks, oh, here's someone that's interacting with me. I'm just going to grind this person into the ground and maybe eventually I'll succumb and have a conversation or buy something from him, which isn't the right approach. But that's what landed me in hot water.
That's the equivalent of Chinese water torture, isn't it?
It sure is. You
drip, drip, drip until someone either buys or dies.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, it's like one of the two things. If someone were to really grab your attention, because I'm sure that there's a lot of people in your inbox all the time, what would get your attention from a real estate agent?
Look, what I teach agents to do is to be very specific rather than just, I mean, you could do a one-liner, is buying a property on your horizon this year. Selling your property on the horizon this year? Are you interested in an appraisal? They should get a potential response if that recipient of the message is in that headspace. But oftentimes you could just be outlining a list of criteria of people that you help really well. So yes, I know agents would probably take most properties if they were going to market, but you could say, look, I specialize in selling houses in this particular suburb, particularly these little pockets or these little areas. I've had some results and in this price range, if that sounds like something that you'd like to have a conversation about to see what the property's worth, even if it's just to be, you know, a nosy parker and get that idea of what the market's doing, hit reply and let me know. So that gives the recipient an opportunity to identify with those bullet points or those criteria that you've laid out. It's not just a broad, all-encompassing message. They go, okay, yes, I do live in this suburb. Those streets are nearby or I'm in that little area. I would like to be getting this sort of price for a property. And so it's a bit more for them to latch onto to go, yeah, you've piqued my interest, let's have a chat.
Over the years, I think I've built up a couple of thousand connections and I don't say yes to everybody. It's sort of yes to people that are kind of in my sphere. What sort of people should agents be reaching out to other than perhaps the ones that we've already talked about?
I believe that agents should be reaching out to people that they know already because word of mouth mm-hmm. and referrals are so powerful. I think they should be doing Google searches or looking at business directories or understanding who the people are in the suburb that have a lot of influence, who own properties, or who might run local businesses like a restaurant or a bar or a hairdresser where they're in contact with a lot of people. If you think about how many contacts you've got, individually we can maybe, you know, contact 10, 20, 30 people a day. But if we've got eyes and ears sort of working for us, both online and offline, well, then that can be amplified. There's scale, there's leverage, and a lot of that trust is passed on. Because I know certainly in the marketing world and the real estate world, there's quite a low level of trust. And if a trusted business owner or a trusted member of that community has a relationship with you and they say, this agent you should chat to, this agent is a good person, well, that trust can be transferred to you and you haven't had to do anything other than develop one relationship and you've got eyes and ears and referrals and word of mouth coming from the advocates for you in that area.
Yeah, that's a really interesting strategy. And I guess that's a good example of how you can take offline networking, like if you were at a networking event, to an online kind of platform. Because if you could get to know developers, if you could get to know builders, if you could get to know accountants who are specialize in investments, you know, all of those sorts of things, they'd all be really great people to get to know.
Absolutely. Everybody that comes to an open home, you get the list of names, look them up on LinkedIn and say, be great to connect. Look up the businesses and type the business name into LinkedIn and see who the owners are or the staff members are and just build relationships with those people. Once you've got that connection, well, then you've got the opportunity to then publish some content, which a lot more people are going to see. So again, you're getting much more bang for your buck for the time that you're investing compared to the people that you're reaching.
That's quite a cool differentiator, actually, coming back from an open home and going through your list and just connecting to people on a Saturday afternoon, even. Thanks, lovely to meet you at the open home. Like to connect on LinkedIn, because then that sort of sets you apart as someone that is professional too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And a real pro tip I'm finding really good at the moment is LinkedIn now lets you send video messages privately to people. So,
oh, right.
Yeah, so what I encourage agents to do is firstly connect with the people that have been through the open home, and once they accept that connection request, just record a short video on your phone saying, hey, Sam, it was great to meet you today. Hope you like the home. love to keep in touch on LinkedIn. And, you know, if you can recall things from the conversations that you've had, even better. But a 15, 30-second personalized video message on LinkedIn or even any of the platforms, to be honest, will make you stand out so much and be so memorable that you're going to make a really good impression.
Yeah, absolutely. You just mentioned content a little while ago about sharing things on LinkedIn. What sort of things are really effective at the moment to share on LinkedIn?
What I'm finding, one of LinkedIn's new features is being able to post a document like a PDF or a what have you. And so what I tend to find with as LinkedIn releases new features, it tries to encourage people to adopt those features so it gives it a disproportionate amount of reach when they're new. So last year it was videos. Videos got a huge amount of traction. Now if you upload a document, it could just be a market report. It could just be a list of your favourite things about the suburb that you're in. It doesn't have to be always about specifically getting listings. But what you'll find is that you might have, you know, 1,000 connections. You might find that 5,000 people view that document in their newsfeed. And so LinkedIn actually gives you reach that's beyond your existing first degree connection network, which is so powerful. So certainly documents is an easy place to start, because oftentimes video is a bit confronting, it's a bit scary. You sometimes think, I've got to produce it and make it all look on brand and all of that, so we get in our own way a lot of the time. But documents are great because every agent will have some useful information that they've shared with prospects, or they've shared with vendors, or they've shared with whoever sitting on their computer already. All they need to do is just go ahead and upload that to LinkedIn and let LinkedIn do the work its magic and put that in people's news feeds, which is where everybody's attention is. So documents is an easy place to start and getting the most reach at the moment.
How does documents compare to, say, something like, because with LinkedIn, you could share a link or you could actually post something natively on LinkedIn. How does documents compare to both of those? So the documents getting more reach than video at the moment. What about people who like blogging on LinkedIn, for example?
Text-only posts still get lots of traction. And at the end of the day, it's more about the what you say than a particular format, but I'll give a few pointers. So if people are commenting, if people are liking it, and the agent is responding back to people in the comments, if it's interesting, it's going to get visibility. The good thing is you can actually repurpose a piece of content. So if you've discovered that talking, sort of writing a text post about whatever the topic is, was really popular, well then, say a week or two later, you could then just create a graphic and tell a similar story, or take that story and turn it into a document or a PDF and upload that, or then record a video talking about something very similar, knowing that that topic is something that people are interested in. And if you do that, like not everybody's going to see it that have seen the first iterations of it. And even if they do, it's content they've been interested in the past. And this is maybe just a slightly new take on it. So if you stumble across a winner, then you can certainly repurpose that across LinkedIn. But I think the one point you made just about linking off back to, say, a blog on your own website, LinkedIn doesn't like that so much because it's taking attention away from the LinkedIn platform. So if you have a blog article on your own website, rather than link to it, my advice would be to share what you can in the text part, maybe add a graphic if you wanted to, and try and keep the conversation on LinkedIn. What I do if the article's, say, too long to fit in the text part, I'll just say, leave a comment down below and I'll email you the full PDF of the article, or I'll email you a link to the blog. That way people are commenting. That way you're keeping the attention on LinkedIn, which is what LinkedIn wants. And then later by a private message, you can then direct people to your own blog, or you can just send that document straight to them. I love this because then when people do comment, they're essentially raising their hand to say, let's start a personal private conversation. And that's where the opportunity is bridging that gap from posting stuff publicly to having those private conversations and nurturing people along that journey.
Basically what you're saying in a nutshell is play by the rules of the platform, because that's what they want. Even if that does mean reposting a whole article on LinkedIn, if someone gets all the way through and likes it, they're likely to go and check out your other stuff on your website anyway, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can have a call to action to go and visit the website. You can have a call to action to leave a comment. Exactly.
That's really, really, really cool. What about LinkedIn advertising? Have any agents been doing that with any success, or is that still a bit early, or what are the sort of things that you'd recommend agents do with LinkedIn advertising?
My personal take on LinkedIn advertising is one, that it's very expensive, but that's okay if you're getting listings. It's outside the area that I've chosen to specialize in. I think that relationships take time and relationships require that personal touch. So I always advise clients, like if you're looking to do the advertising or even the premium account's great, but oftentimes people think that just because you get the in-mails where you can message people you don't know, that that's going to be a better experience all round. And in fact, it's not. It's been tested that people with a premium account, if they were to send an in-mail to a stranger, they got a 3% response rate. But if they went about it the process that we've spoken about today, Sam, and connected with them through the free service, explained why they want to connect, wait for them to accept the connection request, and then ask another question or continue the conversation, that second step, they got a 15% response rate. So paying for extra visibility or extra features doesn't always equate to a meaningful relationship with a prospect.
If I was to get really serious about my LinkedIn profile and presence and generating some good relationships, which would lead to some good leads, hopefully I've got that right. How long of a day, every day, would you, because it sounds, this is not a quick fix. Like most prospecting things, you actually going to have to do some work and put some effort in to start, number one, creating some good connections, but number two, creating some good conversations. So how long do you estimate per day that you're spending on LinkedIn to actually be effective?
Look, I recommend to clients and agents to allocate half an hour a day. They can do more, of course, but that is a good use of your time because, yes, making phone calls, having meetings, doing all that stuff, yes, you need to do. So LinkedIn's not a place to hide. It's not, an excuse not to do that other stuff that we know works. What it is it's the icing on the cake. It's a scalable, you can be methodical about reaching out to people, seeing what introduction scripts work. And if you do it 30 minutes a day, you might reach out to 15 people. But over a course of the week, that's 45 people. Maybe half of them accept, so that's 22 people. And if you do that consistently and have a process to follow where you know when they respond and accept, well, then you can start the conversation this way or have a look for some mutual contacts, some mutual interests, and start a conversation about that. So half an hour a day will definitely help agents get results from LinkedIn, especially if they do it consistently, which is the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't just sort of show up one day and then, say that didn't work and then not come to the party again. You've got to keep showing up.
Exactly. Just like you wouldn't call a vendor once and then give up or what have you.
So with your digital marketing hat on, what are some of your favorite tools that might help you get more productive with social media and LinkedIn particularly?
Okay. What I found the biggest help for being more productive on LinkedIn is turning off Facebook.
Yes. I think turning off Facebook in general, but yeah.
Yeah, I've turned it off I've got this thing called it's called Newsfeed Eradicator, and it's a plug-in. So whenever you go to Facebook, it just turns off the newsfeed so you can't get distracted. It still allows you to message people. It still allows you to interact in the groups that you run or that you participate in, but it turns off that incredibly distracting news feed, which I know used to cost me half an hour, 45 minutes minimum per day.
No dog videos, no.
Unless it's on Instagram on my phone at nighttime. Well, I do avoid those social platforms during the day unless it's specifically work-related. That's actually my best tip, is to turn Facebook off. But there's not too many shortcuts or hacks with LinkedIn aside from just allocating time in your calendar, sticking to it, taking the thinking out, like having a system to follow is really important, because there's days you don't feel like looking up 15 people on LinkedIn and writing to them. There's usually something that's more appealing in the day than that. But we all know that prospecting is so important. Relationships are so important. that consistency, having it in your calendar, knowing what scripts you're going to use, and just sticking to the plan is far more effective than any, aside from turning Facebook off, any other automation. I mean, I don't recommend automation tools for LinkedIn at all. So the relationships take time.
So put down Hootsuite and things like that that traditionally people use to schedule posts and stuff like that.
Look, scheduling posts is definitely okay. I personally prefer to post them natively myself, only because I suspect LinkedIn's algorithm likes attention. So that if it detects that a software is posting it versus a person, it's probably going to favor doing it natively. But that's okay because there's only so many hours in a day. Hootsuite, Buffer, all those tools, perfectly fine for posting content, but it's the relationship part. It's often what happens under the surface in the private messages that takes the time and takes the 30 minutes a day. You can't automate, because I don't think you certainly can't automate relationships.
Yeah, no. As much as some people probably wish that could happen, it's very, very difficult. What about any other resources? So you've mentioned you've got a book, which we'll put a link to in the show notes. Are there any other resources that if someone's sitting there thinking, oh, I'd really love to get stuck into this LinkedIn thing in 2020, what are some of the other places that you would recommend?
I've released a whole bunch of free LinkedIn resources. So things like a LinkedIn profile checklist, a LinkedIn content plan, a LinkedIn 10-minute daily plan, a LinkedIn relationship nurturing process. So they're all available on my website, free. You can opt in and download them on my website. Follow Adam Franklin on LinkedIn. I'm always sharing them. You can find them on my profile. You can just download them straight away. So what I've tried to do there is distill my experience down into just a simple action plan for people to follow, because I know that if people just do it and stick to the plan, there'll be results. So rather than getting distracted or confused by a million different blogs, just follow step by step, work your way through it, and just get in the habit of doing it.
I've got to say, I myself love a good checklist. So that sounds excellent. So we'll leave those links there as well. So Adam, I just want to say thank you for sharing some of this wisdom with us today, because LinkedIn is one of those, I think, lesser used to its full extent kind of platforms, particularly for agents. And I just want to ask one last question of you, and that is, if there was one thing that you'd like people to remember as a result of listening to this, what would it be?
Get on and test it out. Reach out to people. There was one of the agents that I trained recently who couldn't find the contact details of this person. It was a doctor. They had no contact details on the website, couldn't get through anywhere. And so looked the doctor up on LinkedIn and messaged him. And he was so impressed that the agent had found a way to contact him and was friendly. He was actually looking to sell his property, and she got the listing. And this was all because of a LinkedIn direct message to somebody that she hadn't been able to get in contact with through other means. And the doctor was so impressed with this agent that he said, look, my mum's listing her property too. Can you list hers as well? So the results do happen. It's not rocket science. It's just relationships. And if you decide that LinkedIn sounds appealing based on stories like these, get in there, give it a go, and allocate 30 minutes a day. And I'm confident that there'll be results for you.
Easy. Thank you so much, Adam Franklin.
Thank you.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.